Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to WMFO Medford here, live at Tufts University. Happy to have you with us. And it's unbelievable. It's over 70. It's like 71 going to 73. And tomorrow, who knows, it's going to be winter again. But we'll take it. It's really, everybody's out and feeling happy and smiling, and it's a nice little break from the winter. So it's now the Jewish month of Adar. Adar. Be happy it's Adar. So we'll have more about that in a little bit. But we're leading up to the festival, the holiday of Purim. And so we are, once the month of Adar comes in, wherein the month of the holiday of Purim is, we increase our joy. And we'll talk more about that. It's a counterpoint, actually, to the month of Av, which comes out in the summer, which is a day of mourning, a day of the loss of the two temples in Jerusalem. So this is the flip side of that, a day of joy. Purim was a time when two of our people, a woman named Queen Esther and Mordechai, her cousin, were able to prevent a terrible tragedy, a loss of the Jewish people, during the time of the king of Ahasuerus and the wicked Haman. May his name be blotted out. So it's our tradition that Haman was an offshoot, a relative of another whore in our time, Adolf Hitler. So each generation brings forth the seeds of a Moloch who wanted to just hate us and destroy us. So we're now preparing for joy, though. So we're going to listen to some Gotta Dance here on the Voicemobile, WMFO.
Nachon she Hashem Lemelech al Kol haaretz Bayom ahu Yiyye Hashem Echad Ushmo
חיכית לי ואני תמיד חיכיתי לך והנה היום הזה הגיע עכשיו מבטיח שאף פעם לא תהי לבד ואם פתאום תעלמי אחכה כל הלילה ולחש בתפילה שאליי תחזרי ואם תבואי
Yeah.
That is such a joy to be able to bring that to you. This is a new song by Dan Rachel, and it's called And If You'll Come to Me. So, V'im Tavoi El, and I think V'im Tavoi Elei. So I just got this sent to me in my email. It's just so exciting. It's arranged and produced with producer Naum Akrabi. So give you some background here. Over the last 2.5 years, Rachel gave us a number of hit songs from Before It Ends, Circles and Longing to Spinning Wheel, A Love Like This, and his latest release To Forgive and To Forget. This is a new and surprising song which combines Rachel's unique and exciting musical trademark with the impressive production that he created together with Noam Akrabi. New song was born during a long vacation that Rachel took after finishing his solo tour, Rachel Piano Songs, which he spelled it, which W-I-T-C-H, covered 150 successful solo performances in Israel and abroad. I got to hear him at the Berkeley. It was great. In June 2018, Rachel will get back to work with a series of exclusive shows with the Adan Rachel Project as part of a festival that he initiated and for which he is the artistic director. The new song, And If You'll Come to Me, will be performed for the first time in the project's new show alongside some of the big hits from the past, in front of more than 40,000 people every day at the Amphi Live Park in Rishon LeZion. Oh, would I like to be there for that. They go on. Over the past decade, Rachel has created a new musical ambiance that has reached a huge audience in Israel and around the world. In addition to albums and songs that have been an inseparable part of the Israeli music culture, Rachel's shows have set a high standard which audiences have now come to expect, and these shows continue to be sellouts wherever he performs. For the project's new and special production, a special stage has been designed which will give the audience an unfettered view of the show so as to give, as always, the most exciting experience possible. That is so cool. So, so it's giving the dates January 6th, February 6th, April 6th, May 6th, looks like August 6th and September 6th, but it doesn't say, oh, those are the shows, let's see, so that part is in all in Hebrew, and so I'll have to wait till I get more clarity on, you know, when he'll be hopefully in Boston. He does like to come to Boston, so that'll be great if he does come. Okay, so getting this funny signal on the board saying close some tabs. I only had like 4 tabs open, so I'm not sure why it was doing that, but okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, a little strangeness with the board here. It's not allowing me to put in the right time. Okay, well, maybe we can get this. Okay, yes, yes, yes. Okay, here we go. That should work. Yes, it did. Okay, so that was from Hasidic New Wave, Frank London and Greg Wall from a CD called Kabbalogy. And before that, of course, the wonderful new one from Idan Rachel, Mizrach ve'enemar. And Yehuda Gantz, Muchrachim Likrod from Gotta Dance. So I want to share something from Arlene from Israel, from her email to me on February 14th, which it says, today I begin by following through on the events of this past Saturday with regard to our contending with Iran and Syria. There is so very much being said, so many different opinions as to the implications of what has happened. If there is any clarity I can bring to the situation, it is by assuring my readers once again, that Israel came out of this well, exceedingly well, actually. I'm reading some comments that are enormously pessimistic. There are those who are convinced that because one of our planes was brought down by a Syrian anti-craft missile and an Iranian drone entered Israeli airspace, we are now vulnerable or invincibly and our invincibility and our deterrence shot. I would seriously beg to differ here. A drone entered Israeli airspace because we permitted it to for all of 80 seconds before we took it down. As I wrote last, it was a state-of-the-art copy of a Lockheed Martin RQ-170 Sentinel, which is shown below, a serious piece of military equipment. We were tracking it before it entered our airspace. This is clear. It was tracked from its launch. Actually, we knew the military base it had come from. The information that was released was that we waited for it to enter our airspace before taking it down so that we could lay hands on it and examine it. I do not doubt this. However, I would add some additional thoughts, mine, for there is a good deal that is not being said. It seems to me that it was clear, if not essential, to bring it down inside of Israel so that there would be 100% clarity about the defensive nature of our action. We said it. It violated our sovereignty. We had the right to bring it down. What would have happened had we taken it down in Jordanian airspace? What is more, allowing it to enter our space neatly expose the intentions of the Iranians. We played it smart, we played it right, according to head of IAF Air Division, Brigadier General Amnon Eindar. It is the belief of the IDF that the Iranians assumed that they could succeed in sending the drone without the IDF defenses noticing. They expected it to accomplish their mission, whatever that entailed. Had that happened, it would have represented a major blow to us, but it did not happen. Of enormous significance is the reason why it did not happen, and for this I express appreciation to reader Mordechai B.M. I said it myself when writing last time. It was a stealth drone with a low magnetic signature, but I failed to follow through on the implications. We should not have been able to detect it, which is why the Iranians thought they could get away with it. But we did detect it, indicating that we have the capacity to override or cancel stealth. This is a huge military advantage that clearly had not been anticipated by the Iranians. They had to have been badly set back, whatever their bravado. Is there a Persian version of Oive? Multiple aircraft were scrambled, imagine with what speed and efficiency, in response to the approaching drone, Lieutenant Colonel L. Commander of the 113th Air Squadron explained. The squadron was scrambled to defend the nation's skies. In the end, an Apache helicopter was chosen for the task, as its speed is similar to that of the drone, as well as for its optical capabilities. As to that downed Israeli plane, every military analyst I've read is of the opinion that the downing of one plane is not an indication of military weakness or failure. It happens. In this case, there is reason to believe that there was misjudgment on the part of the pilot, who apparently flew at too high an altitude. According to Brigadier General Eindor, cited above in the Ynet article, the IDF has carried out thousands of missions in Syria in the last year alone. Thousands? Perhaps you'd be as startled by this as I am. There is no elaboration of the nature of all these missions, but as the general is head of the air division, we can assume this refers to aerial missions. Many, if not most, of these were surely intelligence-gathering missions of the most clandestine nature. But from time to time, news reaches us from sources outside of Israel, indicating, for example, that a Syrian military base that was stockpiling rockets to be transferred to Hezbollah had been blown up. Now it seems that from time to time was more frequent than we imagined. Almost never does Israel take credit directly, but after the fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu will oftentimes announce that Israel will continue to act as is necessary for our security. There are red lines regarding military transfers and also regarding Iranian entrenchment in Syria. And we have acted quietly and successfully again and again and again without incident, a sterling record. What makes this all the more startling is that there is another dimension we have had to contend with, the Russians, who have been willing to look the other way as we have acted, have a presence in Syria, and we have taken care to avoid damage to that presence, whether planes or installations or personnel. As I previously reported, after the downing of our plane, Israel then sent 8 jets back into Syria to strike 12 different Syrian and Iranian targets. More than this, I did not know when I wrote. Now I do. So, there you go. Pretty interesting, I would say.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Okay, so I wanted to give you some more information about the month of Adar. So I'm just looking at this Chabad website. So it says, known as a month of celebration and happiness, the late winter month of Adar contains the joyous holiday of Purim that takes place mid-month. Purim, however, isn't the only thing that makes Adar special. Says, when the month of Adar arrives, this is according to the Talmud, we increase in joy to welcome a season of miracles. Accordingly, the Talmud tells us that this month is fortuitous for the Jewish people. What's in a name? Hebrew name Adar is related to the word Adir, which denotes strength and power. The Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson of Righteous Memory points out that the term Adir is used to refer to the Jewish people. What could be more apropos for the month when the Jewish people's fortunes are strong? Double your joy, double your fun. Adar is the only month in the Jewish calendar that comes back for seconds. The Jewish leap year, or Shana Meuberet, literally pregnant year in Hebrew, occurs approximately once every 3 years in order to assure that the lunar months of the Jewish year stay in sync with the solar calendar. An additional month of Adar is added. Purim is celebrated in the second Adar. It's also the tradition that Moses passed away on the seventh of Adar. Talmud tells us when the evil Haman, villain of the Purim story, wished to destroy our nation, he staged a lottery to determine the most opportune date. When the lot, called a Pur, hence the holiday name of Purim, fell on Adar, he rejoiced. What better month to punish the Jews, he thought, than Adar when Moses passed away? Surely no month could be lower for the Jewish people. Spoiler alert, it was Moses' birthday as well. What Haman did not know was that Moses passed away on the very same day he was born, the 7th of Adar. The day of Moses' birth, the Talmud relates, helped avert the evil decree. Well, there's a lot more here, but I think that's good for now. And I'm getting this silly warning on the computer. Close excessive tabs or restart Chrome to avoid a Dell crash. Available memory is less than required. Okay, well, all right. We'll go back to some more music then. Be that way.
אל תעצור אותי עכשיו מצאתי סדק יש בו אור אליו אני רוצה ללכת דרכו רוצה לחזור בוא לפעמים אני חוששת שוויתרת ושאתה מפליא גם מוגר אהבנו עד שאת נפשי לצאת נלקח ממני סוד
לפעמים הנאורים הנתרשם חולפים דרכי ברחוב נלקח ממני סוד לפעמים הנאורים אני פוגש את הם חולפים דרכי ברחוב
Okay, let's check her. Here's an important message. Space heaters can be very effective form of supplemental heating. Doesn't think you need it today. Tomorrow, yes. Allowing you to stay toasty warm in an area that you spend a lot of time in while helping you save money by keeping the rest of your home at a lower temperature. However, space heaters account for 1/3 of home heating fires and 81% of home heating fire deaths. So it's important to follow the manufacturer's safety and operating instructions. In particular, keep anything that can burn, including paper, bedding, furniture, curtains, pets, and people, at least 3 feet away. Space heaters should be monitored when in operation and always turn them off before leaving your home or going to bed. Never use a portable heater in wet areas like bathrooms or small children are expected nearby. This is a message from your fire safety-minded friends here at WMFO in Medford Tufts Educational Radio.
Mit der Gottes ist ein Schäferle, die Herr. Yeah. last chord. Go back. Hello.
Yizkerei melekeinu letova im shal tzadikei olam ve'in kam leineinu nikmatam avadav ha'shafuch ka'katuv betoras moshe isha elokim haninu goyim amo kidam avadav yikov ונקם ישיב לצערה וחיפר עד מתו עמוק והידי עמתך הנביאים כתוב לאמור וניקיתי דמם לא ניקיתי בה השם שולחי מציון וניקיתי דמם לא ניקיתי בה השם שולחי מציון שחר צחר זנבי ואומר ידין בגויים מלא גביות מחץ ושל ארץ רבם בנחל בדרך ישתה על כן ירים ראש בנחל בדרך ישתה על כן ירים ראש